This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy. Plus, get access to a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com.
Oh my God, it's been... I'm in the room with Stephen Thompson and Robin Hilton. I'm Bob Boylan, in case you don't remember any of us, because I hardly remember the people I'm in the room with.
This is the first time I have seen Robin Hilton in person since March 13th, 2020.
Oh my God.
What a run. What a run I had.
Yeah, it was sweet while it lasted, Stephen.
Well, here's what's so amazing, that you two have gathered here for me to count down my top 10 records of 2022. Oh,
we're just supposed to sit and validate your choices.
Indeed.
Oh, Bob, what a good, excellent album.
Another good one, Bob.
Are we not?
No.
You tell me. It's your show.
What are we doing?
You said something about the results of the listener poll. And so I thought, okay, sure, I can talk about music people like.
It is wonderful to see you too.
Yes, Bob. You too.
We've missed you terribly.
Oh, I love you both. This is it's All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan, in the room with Stephen Thompson and Robin Hilton, and we are going to count down the listener picks, their favorite albums of 2022. They voted, and once a year we listen to our listeners.
Once? This is it. This is your chance.
A little wedge of a moment.
You're welcome.
Yes. Should we just start? So we put an online poll. We do it every year. Thousands of people voted in it. These are the top 10 records, the most mentioned records in that poll.
Starting with Always.
All right.
And the album Blue Rev.
The song is called Easy on Your Own, is what we're going to play from that album, Blue Rev. Let's play a little and talk about it.
Do it.
I suppose we could do that.
Voice of Molly Rankin. The group is Always. Stephen, you're smiling.
I'm smiling. I'm so glad this made the cut. You know, this record came out earlier this year, and I listened through. I've loved this band since their first record. I listened to it and was like, oh, this is lovely, and then filed away and forgot it.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, that happens. There's just so much, and we have to try to keep up with the fire hose that we're sipping from.
Yeah, and this album ended up making a lot of publications' year-end best lists, and I kind of thought each time I saw it, man, I should go back and listen to that record again. And because listeners picked it, I pulled it out, cranked it in my car over and over again. Yep. It is so charming. It is
and
so
amped up.
Yeah, and just delightful. And you know, it's weird. Like it's a weirdly backloaded record. The further you listen into this record, the better the songs get somehow. The more they reveal each time you listen to them. Listen to them under headphones with the best sound system you can find, and they just reveal new textures and layers, all at the same time maintaining that total charm and sweetness and light.
I just like that, you know, it's been a long time since guitar rock and pop was the dominant sound.
Right.
And I mean, this isn't burning up the charts or anything like that, but it's not, it's nice to see that it connected with our audience.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, you mentioned being brought back to it, Stephen. That's what these polls are nice for. It's sort of a reality check.
Well, we listened to our listeners for a minute there. That was good.
Listeners won.
Hey, gang, yeah, thank you.
Good job, listeners, as it should be.
Actually, the next one, we're going to go two for two so far because the next one is a record that I missed completely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
It's by, I didn't miss it. I mean, I listened to it, but again, filed away in the wealth and flood of other things. This is Florence and the Machine. The album's called Dance Fever, and I'll play the song Choreomania, yes.
Choreomania.
And I'm freaking out in the middle of the street with the complete conviction of someone who's never had anything actually really bad happen to them. But I am committed now. Don't know how it started, don't know how to stop it. Suddenly I'm dancing to imaginary music. Something's coming, so out of breath. I just kept spinning and I danced myself to death. Something's coming, so out of breath. Just kept spinning and I danced myself to death.
Florence and the Machine, their fifth album, Robin.
I may be in tears by the end of the show because so much of the music we heard this year was about release and everything that we've been holding in for the last few years, you know.
You've been doing that actually most of your life.
Most of my life. Exactly. I am a champion bottler. I really am. You know, music about persevering and defiant joy. And, you know, I kind of think of like if Beyonce's record was the ultimate, like, get your ass out on the dance floor and dance this pain away. This is the precursor. Like we're starting to get out now, and she's standing out in the street, freaking out, even though she realizes nothing really bad has ever happened to her before. But she is committed to that feeling, you know, and she is going to own it and go all in. And she's warming up. You can just feel the build across this record. I love it so much.
One of the trickiest hurdles, I think, for us to clear as people who listen to music as part of our jobs, is to stay on top of music by bands that are already established, bands that have already been discovered. Because we love to discover new music. We love to turn people on to their new favorite band, right? And once that hurdle has been cleared in a band's career, we often kind of, whether accidentally or deliberately, we just kind of move on. And so this record slipped by me largely unnoticed because it's like, oh, I already like that band.
Right.
Listening back to it, like, where was I? This is a fantastic. Again,
you had one job, Stephen. And not even a difficult one.
Exactly. A job that is the envy of the world, and I blew it. Listeners to Stephen Zero.
This is
That's
good.
We're going to just keep this tally going this whole show. You're going to be deep in a hole by the end of this show, Stephen.
He started in the hole.
Yeah. That's right.
That was Florence and the Machine, and the album's called Dance Fever. Let's go on to number 8 and Bad Bunny.
Bad Bunny.
Very, very Bad Bunny.
Another party record, so to speak, yes.
Yeah, Rooted in Grief. We can hear a little bit about it.
And yeah, Rooted in Grief.
Yes, Rooted in Tremendous Grief.
Doesn't it feel good?
Cups and cakes. Let's hear the song Party from Un Verano Sin Ti.
tiempo solía, pero en las redes no suena. Ah, ah, no puedo maquinear. Ah, ah, oh. Quiere fluir, cansa de pensar. Ay, dentro la iba a quemar. Ay, hoy se quiere soltar, no quiere amarrarse, solo quiere.
Pa' tus bellaqueras y perreártela la noche entera. Solo abren la cartera, nos fuimos sin que nadie viera. Baby, que afrenta, tú quieres con dos. No sé si va a aguantar, tanto siento que hay. Y encima de mi bicho es que te quiere sentar. Te tengo el tato sentimental, el panty mojado. La nota en alta, no me he bajado. Dice que está soltera y todavía no se ha dejado. Y que se atreve con Benito y con Rao. Tú me gustas par, me gustas par. Salimos de trigao, nos fuimos pa' champar. Corriendo cana, bebiendo champán. Mañana te compro un Taycan.
Yeah, the Puerto Rican superstar Bad Bunny was everywhere in 2022. God. He was in the movie Bullet Train.
his crowning achievement.
His crowning achievement. He was on the world's biggest stages. He had one of the best-selling and most popular records. Think of a band, okay? Think of a band that has a 30-year career, which doesn't happen to very many bands. And at the end of that career, they put out a greatest hits record with, you know, 20 songs or however many songs on it. And you listen to it and you think, wow, what
right.
a career.
What a run.
Bad Bunny put out that record this year.
Right.
This record is so many hits deep. And from the first time you heard it, you're like, oh, this will be, each one of these songs will get 2 billion streams on Spotify.
Yep.
Each one of these songs is going to be heard out of every car window. Each one of these songs feels like a hit. And that's what this record is. And yet it's consistent without being samey. Mm. It's just coming at you from a lot of different angles. It's so enormously catchy. It's a record that will get its hooks into you even if you don't speak Spanish.
Yeah.
And that's a really, really hard thing. That barrier can be very steep for people who don't speak the language of the artist who's putting out the recording. And this record transcended that. First entirely Spanish language record ever to hit number one on the Billboard charts.
So I have read a number of studies, like from the RIAA, that show that younger people in the States in particular spend about a fourth of their time listening to non-English music now, which, mm-hmm. you know, like when we were coming up would have been unheard of.
How much time?
About a fourth, about 25%, quarter
we,
of the
we
time.
We had Los Lobos' cover of La Bamba.
Yeah, I remember that. And that was like a big moment.
That was the extent.
And, you know, and also Latin.
I had the singing nuns doing Dominica, Nica, Nica.
But, you know, it's, you know, and also Latin pop music is the fastest growing genre and has been for the last several years in a row, far outpacing all other music. And it's just like, what a time to be alive. It's, you know, one of the reasons that's happening is just because people are able to listen to anything from anywhere in the world at any time. You know, like, we literally needed a shortwave radio to tune in. So, like, if we wanted to hear something in another language.
I couldn't even reach a college radio station.
Right. Yeah.
From my hometown.
No way.
Yeah.
But this record, in addition to just, like you say, Stephen, having hit after hit after hit, it is also a great example of another recurring theme, which is turning grief into joy, which happens across this record. It is a party record, but there's a lot of heartache on it. And we've talked a lot about it already on the best songs and the best albums list, but not remotely surprised to see it in our listeners' top 10.
Which kind of brings us to number 7, which is Rosalía. Mm-hmm. And
Moto Mami, another incredible record. Let's hear a song called La Fama.
Lo que pasó, a ti te lo cuento. No creas que no dolió, o que me lo invento. Así es que se dio. Yo tenía mi bebé. Con sé que me lo decía, yo como si nada.
Es mal amante la fama y no va a quererte de verdad. Es demasiado traicionera y como ya viene se te va. Sabe que será celosa, yo nunca le confiaré. Si quiere duerme con ella, pero nunca la vayas a casar. Lo que pasó.
Another album that we talked a lot about on the Best Songs and Albums shows that we put up last week. So much you could get into on this record, particularly how Rosalía contains multitudes. Yeah. This album does. Another recurring theme this year, you know, music not being just one thing. But I'll just say, as a fan and a music lover, there's the sounds, the rhythms, the change-ups on this record. She constantly surprises on this record from track to track. And Rosalía herself, if she were in the room, I don't think I could make eye contact with her. She is absolutely... She's the reason we have the term badass. She is just so cool.
Yeah, she is an incredibly righteous force. And this record just sounds so good. She has that voice that is just pulling you in from every angle. But sonically, this record is so much more expansive than anything she's done before. And so you're just getting pulled along by that voice, but then constantly surprised along the way.
Yeah, love it.
Rosalía, the number 7 record, Motomami, and now to number 6, Kendrick Lamar.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this might be higher than 6. I thought this might be 1 or 2. I was surprised to see it at 6.
Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. What should we play from Kendrick and come
Let's
back?
Let's hit it from the top and do United in Grief.
Deal.
I hope you find some peace of mind in this lifetime.
Tell them the truth.
I hope you find some paradise.
Tell them the truth. Tell them.
Tell them you're...
I've been going through something. 1,855 days. I've been going through something. Be afraid.
What is a miniskirt? A man and his feelings with bitter nerve. What is a woman that really hurt? A demon, you're better off killing her. What is a relative? Make a repetitive narrative on how you did it first. That is a predator in reverse. All of your presidents, you with thirst. What is a neighborhood reputable? That is a snitch on a pedestal. What is a house with a better view? A family broken in variables. What is a rapper with jewelry? A way that I show my maturity. What if I call on security? That mean I'm calling on God for purity. I wanna get me a therapist. I can debate all my theories and sharing it. Whoa, consolidate all my comparisons. Humble enough because time was imperative. Whoa, started to feel like it's only one answer to everything. I don't know where it is. Whoa, popping a bottle with Claritin. Whoa, is it my head or my arrogance? Whoa, shaking and moving like what am I doing? I'm flipping my time through the Rolodex. Indulging myself in my life and my music. The word that I'm in is a codosec. The word that we in is just menacing. The demons portray the religionists. I wake in the morning, another hope women. I hope the psychologist listening. Mercedes with black G-Wagon away from. It was all for rap. I was 28 years young, 20 million in tax. Bought a couple of mansions just for practice. 500 in jewelry, chain was magic. Never had it in public, late reaction. 50K to cousins, post a caption. Pray none of my enemies hold me captive. I grieve different.
Good God. Oh my God, this album.
I sort of feel like I was going to be in a theater. It's going to be a single light down. It's going to be a guy sitting on a chair. There's something quite... theatrical about it, and one person to one person.
Intimate.
Yeah, it's interesting, Robin. You said you expected this record to be 1 or 2, and I think if you're looking for what puts a record like this at number six that had so much anticipation behind it, this is a difficult record. He is going for big swings, big ideas, and there are moments on this record that are very alienating, that feel very toxic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when this record came out, I was going to talk about it on Pop Culture Happy Hour, and I spent the weekend listening to it kind of over and over again. And eventually, there was something about it that made me almost want to purge it like a toxin. And I don't mean that to say, I mean, this is a great record.
Yeah.
But he is exploring ideas in very ragged and jagged ways. He doesn't always hit his mark, but he's really going big. This is a 78-minute record full of dark thoughts and dark ideas. And as he says at the top of the record, I've been going through something. And then he's purging a lot of those feelings. And so there are points on this record where I have to skip past because they're too intense.
Well, you take a track like We Cry Together.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I think, listening to that, Stephen, it makes me think, you know, there are movies that are brilliant and you never want to see them again, you know, because they shake you so much to your core. And my first thought when I was like, oh, well, what should we play on this album? And I thought We Cry Together because that song is just such a kick in the stomach. And then I thought, I don't know that I can listen to that again because it is so brutal.
Yeah, that's the track where it's framed as an argument.
Right.
He's with the actress Taylor Page.
Yeah.
And they're fighting the entire song. And if you have ever been around anyone who's had a fight, you get echoes of fights you didn't want to be around, that you didn't want to be listening in on, or that you didn't want to be having. So for me, this record, there are so many moments of absolute genius on this record. You could, if you didn't know this record and you just heard the part we played, you would be like, was that a sample of four different great songs?
Right.
He is so brilliant. But when you listen to Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers in its 78-minute entirety, that is a lot to take in. It's a record you kind of have to dole out to yourself. I mean, Kendrick Lamar is following up a record that was called Damn that was universally beloved, that won a Pulitzer Prize.
Yeah.
This record feels like it's trying to push you away as much as it's trying to pull you in. And in that way, it's enormously powerful. But I can see how not everybody unanimously came around to it.
That's fair. I think I think it's worth noting, though, that you mentioned Damn, the bar was extraordinarily high for him, that like nobody can meet. But I feel like he at least for me, more than surpassed that bar with this one. It is a completely different record from Damn, like you say. But just from the opening seconds of that opening track, it immediately sounded different from everything else I was listening to. And that's part of his genius.
Number six record ever. Our listeners pick Kendrick Lamar, not a casual listen, but
this breezy little number.
When we come back, we will have some, actually, there's a couple of records in the top five of listener picks that are fun, casual listens. We now have on our website NPR Music's top 50 albums, top 100 songs. Stephen, you're doing a playlist this year?
No one asked me.
Oh, you just didn't read your email. Or else it was blocked.
They asked me, and I said no because I said I barely care what I think. I don't know how anyone else does.
No, we're publishing a group of staff lists this week, and my top 10 will be on that. Except it's constantly shifting because I'm still constantly hearing new things that I love. You know, my favorite records of the year change all the time.
I actually did say I didn't want to do one this year for that very reason. It's like I could throw a dart at the records I listened to this year, and you'll hit one that could be in my top 10.
Actually, my list is up online, and I made 100 songs.
Yeah, because you cannot be contained, Bob. It's like, top 10? Who could do a top 10? Here's 100.
I did do a shorter list, and then, but I just, what the heck, you know, you want to discover. Right. There it is.
What the heck? People have unlimited time.
See? That's
for
what
me.
I was thinking.
For me.
Exactly.
But we're going to take a break and be right back. And you're listening to All Songs Considered from NPR Music.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture X Card. When you book through Capital One Travel using the Venture X Card, you earn 10x miles on hotels and rental cars and 5x miles on flights, and you earn unlimited 2x miles on all other purchases. Plus, receive a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. The Venture X Card from Capital One. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BritBox, streaming acclaimed original series you won't find anywhere else. With powerful performances from Jodie Whittaker, Tamara Lawrence, Bella Ramsey, Matthew McFadyen, and more. Streaming at BritBox.com/NPR. Support for NPR and the following message come from Sattva. Sattva luxury mattresses are every bit as elegant as the most expensive brands, but because they're sold online, they're about half the price.
Visit SAATVA.com/NPR and save an additional $200.
In this country, more than two local newspapers are closing down each week. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to the NPR network at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
It's All Songs Considered. I'm Bob Boylan with Stephen Thompson, with Robin Hilton. The first time in 3 years we've been in a studio together, or at least since March 13th, however long that is. That's
nearly
almost 3 years.
Yeah, two and three-quarter years.
It's going to make a habit out of this, though.
I really, there was a part of me, because Robin Hilton does not leave his house. I've seen Bob Boylan in person many times. Robin,
I deliver you bagels.
Bob shows up on my doorstep, and because he brings a gift, I don't just slam the door in his face. But I really thought, I'm never going to see Robin Hilton ever again.
Bob said to me one time, he's like, it's funny, you know, I don't know that you've ever had me over to your house. And I said, I don't have anyone over to my house.
I've never been to Robin's house. Robin's never
Why
been
would
to my
I
house.
Want people over at my house? I live there. Yeah, I keep my things there. Especially when I spend all day with you people in an office. It's like, why would I want to spend more time with you?
Yeah, but when that went away, that didn't change at all. just saying. Let's do number five, because it's fun. The number five album picked by our listeners is Wet Leg. There's so many songs we could play from this record.
Drop the needle.
Oh, my gosh. Let's drop a needle on Being in Love.
Great.
I need to lay down. Only just got up. I feel so uninspired. I feel like giving up. I feel like someone has punched me in the guts. But I kind of like it because it feels like being
So, this record's not deep, but it's so darn fun.
So fun. I mean, okay. So, Wet Leg put out a song called Chaise Long in 2021, and we knew this record was coming. And it's not necessarily terribly often that you can stand at the start of a year and know what one of the albums in your top 10 list is going to be, and it's the debut album by a band that has put out like a total of three songs.
Right.
You just knew this record was going to be great from that first single. One of the best just opening singles of a band's career that has ever been. And this record lives up to that promise, which seems almost impossible.
And I think it came at a moment where the humor was so, so needed. And I mean, I laugh out loud when I went and listened to this record for the first time and heard these songs for the first time, other than Chaise Long and whatever the other single was. I can't remember at the moment, but I just love the way they poke fun at people, the way they... it's so dry. And the moment that I had this year with them was being in a nightclub with only 180 people. I mean, it was a capacity crowd in a very small club, DC9 in Washington, D.C. You know, one of the few times in a crowded space with mask on and all that stuff. And it felt so good to be back with people. And, and they just brought everybody together laughing and smiling.
Huh.
Was that Robin who did that?
For me, this is the kind of record that, like, back in the day when I had the time to just camp out with a record, this is the one that would have been stuck in my cassette player for months, you know.
This record captures a mood, a very specific mood, and it is the mood of being a certain young age. A certain young age in which you are both...
Which we're none of.
None of us are in this room are anywhere near that age. But there's a certain age where you're going through the world both over and under stimulated. And it feels very of the moment, right? Like everybody's having 20 million stimuli thrown at them at all times. And it's both overwhelming and boring. And this record taps into that feeling.
And I think some of that reserved, dry delivery is what makes it work, too.
Oh, my gosh. So charming. So fun.
Oh, my God. So, Rhiann Tisdale and Hester Chambers, Wet Legs, the group. That's number five. Let's go to number four, Harry Styles, Harry's House.
Well, the way you said that made it sound like a horror movie.
I listened to it. I thought it was.
Oh, no, come on now.
This Bob record Boylan. Was awesome, and I will take that to the mat.
Send your angry letters
to me.
To Bob Boylan.
I want to hear As It Was.
Oh, my God. No matter how many times I hear it, don't get tired of it.
Come on, Harry. We want to say goodnight to you.
I love this record, the song, so much. Like you, Stephen, no matter how many times I hear it. Bob, you joked it going into it about, you're not, it's no secret, you're not a fan of big, glossy pop, highly produced pop music. But when we featured this record on New Music Friday, one of the things that we talked about is how we tend to flatten celebrity, and it's very easy to see someone like Harry Styles as one thing. This very, very good looking... he's a very good looking. He's a handsome former boy band singer.
Do you like the way you look?
he's very handsome.
He's handsome. He's good looking. He's hot. He's attractive.
Help me. What are the words I'm looking for? No, he's a very good looking former boy band member. Who I'm just saying
what,
it's
what
people
that?
People
Take two.
People people that? Flatten celebrity and think, oh, attractive boy band minger. His waters are not very deep. He makes relatively low stakes pop music. There's not a whole lot to dig into there, not a lot of meat on the bone. But I think the more you listen to this record, the more layers it has and the more sides I heard to it sonically. I think he is a guy and a musician who is a lot harder to figure out than he might get credit for, certainly from people who don't like glossy pop music. I think his waters run very deep. That's all I'll say. And I know I said he's good looking, but...
I sat behind the tiny desk in early 2020 and interviewed Harry Styles about our shared love of the Green Bay Packers. And I can attest, he's very handsome.
Not where I thought you were going.
I texted a picture of that interview. Somebody took a picture of me interviewing Harry Styles. I texted it to my partner, Katie, and I said, the good news, tonight you get to go to bed with one of these men. The bad news, you don't get to pick which one.
The bridge troll sitting next to Harry Styles. We're joking, but this was a great record. And like, if you see him live, his shows are like off the charts.
Yeah,
he's so endearing to the fans. And
yeah, I find him enormously endearing. And I think for me, I was a little surprised that this full album was as high on this list as it was. I don't necessarily think of Harry's House as like a triumph of an album that you need to listen to as one, 40-minute piece of music. To me, it is a record with several astonishingly great singles. I didn't necessarily have the relationship you did with it, Robin, where
well,
it was revealing.
Robin thought it was a very handsome record.
You know, Robin was sort of saying it revealed more layers the more time you spend with it. I didn't necessarily have that experience. I just found the singles from this record, particularly as it was, were sort of infinitely appealing. Every time that song came on the radio, I was delighted.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, it was really kind of...
You listen to the radio?
I do
sometimes listen to the radio. Can you believe that?
I do sometimes listen to the radio, especially in my car. My family prefers the radio.
Over the 8-track player.
Over the 8-track player that I would...
And I like it that way. I like my 8-track player.
So it's interesting to see like this full record being embraced as a whole album. And it makes me want to go back and spend more time with the other songs on the record because I just found myself playing As It Was over and over again.
Yeah, the NPR Music ran a review of this record that was a real takedown. And I didn't agree with the review. One of the reasons the review was negative is they thought that it's too disjointed. There's no, you know, he's trying to be too many things all at the same time, and that's not how I received it at all.
Harry Styles, Harry's House. Speaking of records that are all over the map.
And ask a lot of you.
And ask a lot of you.
Yeah.
That's right. A Big Thief is our number 3 record for 2022, picked by our listeners, and they purposefully Big Thief.
Bob, can you name the title of this album off the top of your head?
Yes. Dragon, New Warm Mountain, I Believe in You.
There you go.
And it's a record, their intention was to not only self-produce it for the very first time, not work with Andrew Sarlo in producing the record, but also to find 4 different locations. And in those 4 different locations, come up with different sounds. And so they wound up recording something like 40 tracks. There's 20 of them on this record. Normally, as we've done this show, we've played a track from each. I'm just going to play a snippet of 2 different songs that sit back-to-back somewhere like cut, you know, 15 and 16 or whatever.
Cut 65 to 66.
And just give an example of what Big Thief's sound and record sounds like. So this is, right here is a song called Blurred View.
The magazine, the blue screen, the big hand moving past the last thing and turn for you. For you. In the private room, the quiet room, the gray eye blinking on the new moon, I'll burn for you, burn for you, burn for you.
Okay, so that's a Blurred View from Big Thief, and then right afterward comes this tune.
Down,
that's
grandma.
My grandma. There are lines in this record that stuck with me all year. That line about she mentioned her grandma's name and Adrian Linker is the she who mentioned her grandma's name in there and I don't know, there was something about so pure joy the way she said it that just pierced me well and brought me joy.
Yeah, this is an epic.
Yeah.
This is the longest album on this list, even longer than Kendrick Lamar's Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. This is an almost 81-minute record. And because of that, I got a little scared off it for a long time. Mm. I knew I loved the first single from this record, Little Things, that came out last year. It was one of my favorite songs of last year. I was really excited about this record because I was in love with that song. And then I saw this ocean of songs and was a little slow to spend time with it. And it is all over the place, but God, they are so in the pocket. They know it is just a band at the height of its power.
This was the number one rock album on NPR Music's. Were you in the rock? I was kind of part of the rock group. So what was your all's thinking? Like why? Because rock is the last word I would use to describe this album.
Well, I mean, I think, like I said, there's 4 very different sounds on this record. And I don't think it'd be you know, you could listen to so many groups that we thought of as rock in the day and listen back to, you know, a Led Zeppelin song that sounds kind of country. I think that's always what's lived in rock. I think the more we get further from the heyday of rock, the more I think we think of rock as music made with a guitar, bass, and drums. Mm-hmm. And everything, no matter what they make, it has guitar, bass, and drums, or at least at its core and its center. And so, yeah, categorizing music is so weird anymore, and I wouldn't be surprised in times not too distant future if that whole idea of throwing stuff into categories like that just gets tossed away by us people, meaning the media, really.
Yeah.
We just talked just earlier about how, you know, people listen to music that's not even in a language that they speak.
Yeah.
I think the world is opened up. Maybe you have to start younger and see that open up world where everything is just there in front of you and just think of it as one big whole and not into little slivers. Because for us, speaking of the radio, we grew up listening to a radio that was the rock station or the hip-hop R&B station or the country station.
All of it very siloed.
Very, very much siloed. And we are all in our little silos in many ways, but also there's this great expanse. It all falls into this melting pot. I don't know how to put it. We're both very siloed and also very aware of so many things that are around us. Maybe you all can help me focus that idea.
Well, we have fewer monocultural moments, I would say, you know, where everyone's listening to the exact same thing. And there still are genres and subcultures and niches, but all the slices are just thinner and thinner, right? And what one of the beautiful things about, you know, the how connected we are right now is how you can find your people. You know, like you can be part of this group that listens to Goa chant music or Tibetan monk music or something, you know, more obscure. But people can find it and find each other. I also say about the Big Thief record, we've talked for years now about the death of the album. And I think seeing the Big Thief on here, the Kendrick Lamar and so many of the other records on this list tell me that it's the exact opposite. You know, this was such a great year for full albums.
Do you guys spend, well, I don't know if it's fair to have this conversation with you, with including myself, is how much time we actually spend listening to a record from beginning to end?
Well, I mean, I have to metabolize so much music, honestly, for New Music Friday. I'll hear a record a couple times and then move on. I love having time off because then I listen to whatever I want and I'm reminded like, oh yeah, I really like music. I listen to the E.T. soundtrack the other day, like when, because I still love that record still brings me joy, and I'm like, I never have time to listen to it.
I make a point Saturday mornings to make sure I listen to just something old that I love or recent that I love,
right?
And not be mission driven to,
right?
Maybe this is a rabbit hole we don't need to go down.
No, but it is part of what's fun about this end of the year conversation is that it forces us to go back and reflect on what we actually liked, and sometimes this process just kind of crystallizes for me what music I want to save. You know, to go back and revisit, because all three of us are so much in the business of listening to whatever's next. It's nice to kind of put a few stakes in the ground and just remind yourself to go back and re-listen and re-love this music.
So was that true of our number two record for you, the Taylor Swift record?
It absolutely was. I love this record.
She, over her last few records, I think, Stephen, for me anyway, I have never loved her music more.
What do you want to play?
I want to hear the song You're On Your Own, Kid.
Summer went away, still the yearning stays. I play it cool with the best of them. I wait patiently, he's gonna notice me. It's okay, we're the best of friends. Anyway, I hear it in your voice, you're smoking with your boys. I touch my phone as it fits your face. I didn't choose this town, dream of getting out. There's just one who could make me stay. All my days, from sprinkler splashes to fireplace ashes, I waited ages to see you there. I searched the party of better bodies just to learn that you never cared. You're on your own, kid. You always have been. I see the grave.
Got a little dusty in here.
I mean, that song is incredible.
Yeah.
That song blows me away every time. And, you know, the singles from this record, Antihero and Lavender Haze, both very good songs, but they both are kind of touching on this side of Taylor Swift's persona that I'm not as interested in, which is kind of the perils of being Taylor Swift. And I don't know what it's like to be Taylor Swift.
Really?
So those songs I always kind of hear and feel at a remove. But when she writes a song about going back to your hometown and feeling a sense of loss at paths not taken, that is a universal feeling. That is something that I can feel in my bones. And she writes that song better than just about anybody is capable of writing. The songcraft on this record is really, really striking. She is an extremely gifted songwriter. Does she drop a clanker every now and then?
No.
Does she write a turn of phrase that I don't? Nope, that wasn't it.
No.
Absolutely. But she's such a distinct songwriter, and when she hits it absolutely out of the park. And so for me, that song that we just played goes right into another song that's, again, like sonically really different for her. She's just able to really stop you in your tracks. And this record did that for me over and over again.
How involved is she in the, because here's a song that little element comes in a few lines later, another element comes in the mix as it builds. Oh, a little hint of, little texture.
I mean, she works with lots
coming.
Of great producers and collaborators for sure. But I think it's, at the heart of it, it's all Taylor. And I think, you know, you talk about her being a gifted songwriter. It is a craft for her that has been evolving so beautifully over the last several years in particular, I think, and growing. And, you know, she had a pretty reliable formula that I have no doubt, had she continued to follow that formula, she would have found a massive audience.
I mean, she did anyway.
You know, but I love how she's been reaching over, you know, and growing over the years. This record is a little moodier and a little downcast. You know, there aren't any real big, massive drops or huge bangers on it. And
Antihero's kind of a banger.
Yeah, I mean, but it, I think, like, thematically, there's just so much searching on it. You have darker cuts like Vigilante Shit or Karma, where she's talking about how sweet revenge is, you know, how much... comfort she finds in payback, and I don't know. I like this older, wiser Taylor. I have a cousin who is ride or die for Taylor, and you know, fans have had all kinds of different things to say about her music over the years, but I love this Taylor.
Number two record, Taylor Swift. So we get to number one.
I feel this is not going to come as a huge surprise.
Well, that's it.
Weezer!
the drum roll there at no point to knowing that our listeners picked Beyoncé's Renaissance as the number one record. NPR Music picked Beyoncé's Renaissance as the number one record. No surprise, no drum roll needed. But it got me thinking about something, and we'll get to the music in a minute. I just want to ask you this, which is that NPR Music turned 15 years old this year. And I went back to look at 2007 and what we chose, and thinking about some of the listener poll shows that we've done over the years and what was chosen, I just did a couple of math things and looking. I could say none of our records were on Billboard's top anything, right? And here we are in 2022. We did a top 10 countdown. Six of the 10 records that our listeners picked are at least in the top 20, 25 Billboard records of the year. And I'm wondering what all that means. Not a criticism, just an observation that made me sort of, I was, you know, Beyonce would put out a record that was number one back in 2007. It wasn't even on our list anywhere, and here it is 15 years later. It's at the top.
Well, I think that our tastes have evolved. I think what we put on our site and thus the people we reach has evolved. I think that's one element of it. Yeah. I also think that pop music has evolved and innovated in some really surprising ways. There are a lot of eras. If you go and pull up the Billboard chart for the biggest songs of the year, you'll hear a lot of really kind of lazily produced cookie cutter songs. And if you're looking at whatever you think of Beyonce, whatever you think of Taylor Swift, whatever you think of Harry Styles, I don't think those are lazily cookie cutter made records. I think there is real beauty and charm and innovation. You know, they're working with a lot of the best and most gifted people. I mean, Beyonce is working with so many innovators on this record that you listen to it and you kind of can't deny that it is a remarkable piece of craft. And I think it's a combination of things. I think NPR Music has evolved and expanded and covered a lot more music and diversified its staff and embraced music that we weren't necessarily embracing in 2007. I think that is part of what creates some of that crossover. But there's also just enormous critical consensus around the best pop music in 2022 that there wasn't necessarily 15, 20, 25, mm-hmm. 30 years ago.
For me personally, it's also just cyclical. Like, there, you know, we were giving Stephen a hard time earlier about him listening to Top 40 FM radio in his car. And there have been times when I could turn on Top 40 radio and everything, like my personal tastes were lining up perfectly with everything that was popping on the charts. And then there were periods where it just wasn't at all. Like, yeah. You know, the stuff that I love just wasn't hit. And this is just one of those years where, like Stephen said, there's just a lot of critical consensus around these songs and these albums.
Well, critical consensus, here we come. What should we play from Beyonce's Renaissance record and go out on this?
Well, I thought we should play Virgo's Groove because, you know, this was also, as you say, a record we've talked a lot about already. We played a lot of different songs on the show from it. This is one we haven't heard yet that I really love. Beyonce set the tone for the whole year, I think, with this record. And there were so many artists who followed who just were like, celebrate life, love, and joy, and wonder, and get out on the dance floor. Even
do you have any videos of you on the dance
floor?
Well,
here's the thing. I will describe.
Can we post that on our Instagram?
There are not, but I will say that I'm the person. Like,
that's good.
When I heard this record, it wasn't what I wasn't ready to hear this. It grew on me over the year. I'm the guy whose friend said, come on, we're going to the club. And I'm like, I don't want to go to the club. And then when I went to the club, I stood, leaned against the wall with my arms folded. And then about halfway through this record, I'm like, you know, kind of going out there, kind of moving around a little bit. And then
I
feel it. I feel so alive. It's okay to be happy again.
I just think if you bore deep down to the center of my skull, you will find a little piece of my brain that's just a tiny little disco ball, just twirling softly. Never step out onto a dance floor, but that little disco ball, it ever twirls.
Oh my gosh, I'm holding on to that thought. Well, at least for a couple of minutes while we play this. There's Stephen's
disco
ball.
I'm sorry, she does it so perfectly. She plays homage to this era so beautifully and perfectly. Flawless.
Thank you, listeners.
Yeah,
thank
good
you, Stephen.
Job.
Amazing to be in the room with you guys.
10-0 listeners. Stephen Zero.
Oh, take care, everybody. It was, I'll say, Robin, it was really great to see you. And what do you think? Should we tell
Don't
Stephen
expect
that?
This preferential treatment to continue.
All right.
Robin, I will see you in 2026.
Yeah, I was thinking the same. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Yeah. Right here.
Just I want you. This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles on every purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
This message comes from Capital One, offering commercial solutions you can bank on. Your business faces specific challenges and unique opportunities. That's why Capital One offers a comprehensive suite of financial services, custom tailored to your short and long-term goals. Backed by the expertise, strategy, and resources of a top 10 commercial bank, a dedicated team works with you to support your success and help achieve your goals. Explore the possibilities at CapitalOne.com/commercial.
I'm Miles Parks. I cover voting and election security for NPR. Across the NPR network, we report rigorously on the forces seeking to disrupt democracy and provide communities with reliable information. It's Public Media Giving Days, the perfect time to stand with the facts by donating now at donate.npr.org. Thank you.